I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Are 31 hours away from the start of the 2024 NFL Draft, live from Detroit, Michigan. The big man, Chris Carlin, on his way there right now. I'll be joining him this evening. Gabe Neitzel, good friend of the show, filling in for Carlin today. You got it. You got it, people. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. It is great to have you along for the ride. Buckle up. 30 minutes from now, J.J. McCarthy. You may have heard of him. Quarterback out of Michigan. Big talk around where he'll go tomorrow night. As high as 3 to the Patriots. Are the Giants getting involved at 6? Is Minnesota trading up with the Cardinals at 4 or Chargers at 5? A lot to sort through there. As we remind you, Carlin versus Joe, presented by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with life, electronic, device, and pet health insurance. Gabe Neitzel, you're in the Milwaukee area. You cover the Bucks. You are at least 1-1 in your series heading to Indiana. I am a Philadelphia fan. We are down 0-2 coming home in a series in which Jalen Brunson is 16 of 55. This is a top five MVP candidate, shooting 16 of 55 in the series. That's 29%. He's 2 of 12 from deep. He's got 6 turnovers. His plus minus, for those who don't know what that is, plus minus is how many points you're either outscoring the opposition or how many points you're being outscored by the opposition when you're on the court. It's 0. It's even. It is even, and they're up 2-0 in the series. And the Sixers have somehow found a way to neutralize him to an extent, and they're in an 0-2 hole. Should I panic?
I didn't think so until you started listing off all those things. Yes, right? You should be in full panic. You should be in full panic mode. I thought that, especially with the way that the game ended, game two the other night, when they just basically decided that there were no rules and anything went.
Right.
And that's, you know, it took a chaotic end in order for the New York Knicks to kind of steal game two, because that's the way I felt. But at the same time, it doesn't feel like Joel Embiid is going to be getting any healthier the longer this postseason run goes on. Like, you're probably going to be getting the best out of Embiid early in the series, and as it goes on, my guess is those returns are going to diminish. So the fact that you're down 0-2, yes, you are going home, and yes, those games have been competitive. It's not like you've been blown out. It's not like you're asking yourself questions the way the Suns are probably asking themselves some questions right now.
Correct.
But at the same time, game three is as about as important of a game, really, for the franchise that I can think of right now.
So, on one hand, we tend to overreact to a lot of this stuff, right? One game I pointed out yesterday on ESPN Bet Live, and we're live in Detroit, baby. Live in Detroit, 4 p.m. Eastern, Thursday and Friday, ESPN2. One thing we pointed out yesterday, I liked the Pacers yesterday. And it was pretty simple, right? Like, they were a favorite in game one. They were a favorite for the series. They went into game one. They had an awful shooting night. It was their worst shooting night in 83 games played throughout the course of the season. Like, some natural positive regression is going to occur from a shooting perspective, and they should be able to get themselves back. And they did. They even upped the series, and now everything shifts, and we have a very different view of how that series is going to play out because of one game. These overreactions occur all the time. If Philly wins game three, and they're a 4.5-point favorite, suddenly we're all saying, okay, Sixers are back in this series. Sixers can hold court, hold serve, win game four, and then all of a sudden it's the crucial game five back at MSG where Philly was competitive. That's one thing we could say. The other thing we could say is they could lose game three, and then they enter the offseason with a ton of big questions. Embiid, Maxey, Harris finally going to be gone. $40 million is going to free up, so maybe you go get a guy like Paul George. That's what the rumors are. But do you think, and I know this is going to sound crazy at first, and I'm not pushing for it, but Joel Embiid is going to be 31 years old next year. I think he's had 4 knee surgeries in his career. He's had foot issues. He's had orbital fractures. He's had hand issues. He's 7 feet tall. On a good day, he's 280 pounds. All right? In his 10-year career, he has appeared in 433 of a possible 801 regular season games. 54%. Joel Embiid has only played in 54% of the possible regular season games he could have appeared in since starting 10 years ago. Do you think the Sixers even have the conversation of saying, look, Tyrese Maxey's a stud. He was just named most improved player last night. Congratulations to Maxey. Maybe, just maybe, we broach the idea of trading Embiid so we can get max value now rather than hold on to him, watch his body deteriorate, and come away with nothing. I know it sounds crazy, and I know it'll never happen, but do you even consider having that conversation?
They should.
Right? Like, you got to at least kick it around.
Because even though Embiid would have been the MVP this year had he stayed healthy. I mean, he was on a torrid pace earlier this season, coming off an MVP season a year ago. The injuries have to be a concern. The injuries were the question for Embiid and was the reason why he was available to the Sixers to begin with when he was originally drafted, because he had injury questions coming out of Kansas. And for the most part, he's been able to navigate most of the injuries he's had. He's had a good little run here. Yes, little things, you know, sneak up here and there. But I'm almost looking at him almost like a running back at this point. He's had so much wear and tear on that body, and the second he gets over 30, I've got questions. I've got questions about how good this guy can be into his 30s, because once big guys start to have knee, leg, foot issues like he has had, man, it is hard for them to stay on the floor. And Tyrese Maxey at 23...
stud.
To me, seems like the type of player you can have. Right now, he's not the number one, but he can be that number one option for you, and you can be really competitive, maybe even win a championship if you surround him with the right pieces. The question is, do the Philadelphia 76ers have the gumption to actually have that conversation behind closed doors of, hey, what if we maybe just take a step back here? Yes, it's going to be tough next year without Embiid and Maxey to be competitive in the Eastern Conference. But if we can get good players, if we can get a big time, you know, a lot of draft picks and start nailing some of those picks to build around Maxey, maybe that gives us our best chance to win a championship. Because look, the whole trust the process thing, Embiid's the last guy standing from that. Embiid's the last trust the process guy left. And trust the process has gotten you to the Eastern Conference semis, and that is it. Not even an Eastern Conference finals appearance. And do you think that Embiid's going to be able to play a number of games that he has to be eligible for MVP next year? I would have questions about that. And if he's not going to be available, you got no chance. So why not consider the move? It's never going to happen. They're not going to do it.
Correct.
But I think it's a conversation that's worth having because of how good Maxey appears to be.
Gabe Neitzel, Joe Fortenbaugh, Carlin versus Joe, presented by Progressive Insurance. I would at least broach the subject. At the very least, the decision makers have to get around the table and say, okay, this year, like usual, we didn't come away the way we wanted to, so be it. How many years, I think the most important question this offseason for Philadelphia has to be, how many years of prime, relatively healthy Joel Embiid is left, right? If someone throws out the number 10, you're going to shake your head and go, no way. This guy's not going to be prime and healthy 10 years from now when he's set to turn 41. So let's throw that out the window. Do we have 7 more years? Probably not with the size of that body and what he goes through. Now we're getting to a point where we're asking, do we have 5? Do we even have 3? If we have 3, knowing we've got Maxey entering his prime in a couple years, already playing at a high level, and we've got $40 million available to us this offseason because Tobias Harris is finally coming off the books, maybe we can say we got a 3-year window here, we're going all the way in the next 3 years, and if it doesn't work, it's all going to collapse and we're all going to get fired, so be it. Or if you say to yourself, you know what, I don't even think we have 3, maybe you look to maximize the value in the offseason by moving them. I think you're right, it's not going to happen. But I think you at least have to ask that question as how many years of prime Joel Embiid you have left?
31, 63, 64, 51, 51, 68, 66, 39.
Games
That's
played.
The number of games that Joel Embiid has played every single season. I mean, those are just tough. I mean, again, never gotten to 70 games, and maybe you don't need to. But that makes me think that that window of him and being able to be healthy enough where you can go, yes, we can make a run at this, is 2 or 3 years. I think that's all you got.
I think 3 max. Tim Legler, ESPN NBA analyst, we love him. He was on USL Unsportsmanlike talking about the Sixers and what the process could be moving forward. Take a listen.
when you have guys like Buddy Hield play like this, when you have guys like Oubre who are really good in regular season and non-factor last night, you have Kyle Lowry at the end of his career, and that's your starting guard. They've got more things they've got to look at and address for roster turnover than the Lakers do. Lakers probably going to run into the best team, and they're going to lose a competitive series, and they're going to look at their team and say, well, maybe if we could have avoided Denver, you know, in the first place, we could have made a deeper run. Sixers have to really look at their roster up and down to find out what parts go around Maxey and Embiid.
Paul George could be that guy. I know a lot of people have been floating the idea. If you're Paul George, you have to think to yourself, okay, I just spent all that time in L.A. with an injured Kawhi Leonard. Do I want to go to Philly and play with an injured Joel Embiid?
Well, isn't that just the East Coast version of the Clippers? You're wearing a similar shade of blue. You're just now in the Eastern time zone versus the Pacific, if that's what Paul George does. Yeah. Like, why do that? Like, you're already set up in L.A. Why would you just go to the East Coast version of the team you're currently on?
Lots of hype every year, lots of excitement. This could be the year, and then it flames out, and everyone looks around going, why did we buy into that at the beginning of the season? Never again. Gabe Neitzel, Joe Fortenbaugh, Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio. The odds regarding what the Chargers were going to do at pick number 5 were all over the place. We talked about it yesterday. It showed up everywhere. Everyone started talking about this. It was chaos. People are in the mentions. They're angry at me. I didn't tell you the Chargers were going to draft J.J. McCarthy. We just posted the odds and we kicked it around. We tried to figure out what was going on. Well, there's more developments there. Thankfully, you have us set to break that down for you next. Carlin versus Joe here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio. NFL Draft on ESPN Radio.
It's time to have some fun.
Live from the heart of downtown Detroit.
This is the most fascinating NFL draft I've ever been associated with.
The Chicago Bears select
the NFL Draft, Round 1, tomorrow at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN, and on ABC.
Gabe Neitzel, Joe Fortenbaugh, Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Gabe, I'm glad you're on the show today for Carlin. Love Carlin. Everyone listening, do not take it that way. Do not clip me out of context. But we had a conversation yesterday that no one was really talking about. That conversation has since caught some fire, and I'd love to run it by somebody else.
Okay.
So it's perfect that you're here.
I'm excited. Excited to be here.
Conversation yesterday was as follows. We like to, on this show at times, dabble in the dark arts of sports betting, and I know it's tough to believe, but we track a lot of these odds at the sports books, especially ESPN Bet, when it comes to the NFL draft, because sometimes those might be able to tell you a narrative. For example, Byron Murphy, I got a tip, he's a defensive tackle out of Texas, that he very much could be the first defensive player to come off the board. Price was like 14-1 a week ago. Now, it's sitting around plus 175, 2-1. Like, that price has dropped because people are catching up to the idea that that could be a possibility. Those, to me, are interesting stories. So we follow one yesterday. The Chargers. There's a market on which position will the Chargers draft with their first overall pick, whether they stay at 5 or they trade back to 10. When they make their first pick, what position is it going to be? Now, when this market opened, the Chargers were 100-1 to take a quarterback. Naturally, they have Justin Herbert. Why would they draft a quarterback?
Makes tons of sense.
Exactly. So far, we all understand each other. 2 days ago, that market plummets to 15-1. So that raises some red flags. I'm thinking to myself, all right, something's going on here. Someone obviously bet this, or someone who's booking this got wind of something. Yesterday, it drops to 6-1. that the Chargers will take a quarterback with their first pick. And naturally, everyone starts connecting the dots that, like, are they interested in trading Justin Herbert to the Vikings? Is it possible that J.J. McCarthy is going to be reunited with Jim Harbaugh? Speaking of which, J.J. McCarthy, 12 minutes from now, joining us here, Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. So that's where we are. We were discussing it. We didn't say it was going to happen. We didn't report it. We just looked at the odds and thought, is this crazy? You hear that. What comes to mind when you hear those price moves?
I have no idea. I don't know what to make of that, because this sounds like, quite possibly, the dumbest thing that I can think of in terms of the Chargers drafting a quarterback. And I understand, we just batted around the idea of Joel Embiid getting traded, right? There are crazy ideas that are thrown out there when we talk about sports.
Yes,
when
sir.
Teams are just trying to get every sort of edge. What are we going to do? How do we win a championship? They just paid Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert, despite having one playoff game appeared, he's played in one playoff game, and his team actually ended up blowing a rather large lead a couple of seasons ago to the Jacksonville Jaguars. He is still looked at as one of the young quarterbacks that has a bright, 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 bright future in the league that everybody's excited about, because he now presumably has a competent head coach to lead that organization into the future. Yes, he's in a tough division, but with a good head coach, with a good quarterback, a lot of people willing to take their odds on that. So I just don't understand, because they still have to pay him. His mega contract hasn't kicked in yet. Not even to the point, like, they owe him so much more money than what the Denver Broncos just did with Russell Wilson, kicking him to the curb and owing all that dead cap space over the course of the next couple of seasons. Like, they are so far beyond that in terms of the money that they still owe Justin Herbert. I don't know how they're able to get rid of Herbert and then still have money to build a competent team around a quarterback, whether that be J.J. McCarthy, whether that be Drake May, whoever they might have their eyes on, that the odds would be at 6-1. That sounds insane to me.
Yeah.
Insane.
And the thing is, Herbert's played well. The dead cap charge would be over $100 million. There's, like, no reason to believe this would ever happen, but yet the odds are moving for a reason. And it's not just a joke. And it doesn't mean something's going to happen, but there's a reason the odds moved, okay? Now, this morning, our friends on Unsportsmanlike were kicking around this very subject, just like we are right now. Why would something like this happen? Adam Schefter, literally, at one of the busiest times of year, went out of his way to call the show to talk about this. They didn't book him. They didn't reach out to him. He heard what they were saying, and he decided, enough's enough. I'm calling in. I'm weighing in on this. Take a listen to Schefter on USL this morning.
They're not drafting J.J. McCarthy. They're not drafting J.J. McCarthy. Now, could somebody trade into 5 to draft J.J. McCarthy? If that's the bet, yeah, that's possible. Absolutely. But the Chargers have Justin Herbert. The new money in Justin Herbert's contract has not kicked in. They can't trade Justin Herbert. So they're not drafting J.J. McCarthy as the first pick to create a controversial situation in L.A. about who they should start as quarterback when they've drafted a franchise quarterback in Justin Herbert and he's the guy.
All right, sounds a little wishy-washy, so I'm not sure where he stands on this whole thing.
I think he only said it 3 times. I counted 3 times in the 30 seconds of that Adam Schefter clip where he said, they are not drafting J.J. McCarthy.
To translate what Schefter was saying, he's like, I am so insulted by the fact that this is even out there. I am going to take time away from my job and my family to call you idiots to explain to you that this would never happen and that you should never talk about it again. And it's like, well, we kind of, unfortunately, opened the Pandora's box yesterday with this conversation. But, hey, what are we supposed to do? So those are some of the odds. It's, you know, you kick it around. It does sound ludicrous. But I think the key point to this is the idea that, yeah, McCarthy could go 5. It's just not going to be to the Chargers.
If this actually happened, if the Chargers somehow took a quarterback in the first round
tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah, it'd be awesome. But I would actually have to start believing and listening to every theory about the Chargers franchise being cursed. Like, I would have to listen to it all, because that's how insane this decision would be, as laid out by Adam Schefter and all the things he just said, with all the new money and everything that they would owe and owe to Justin Herbert in terms of money. How could you responsibly draft a quarterback and then be sitting there with both Herberts and somebody you just took in the first round? It makes zero sense. And I would have to believe that there's something in the water that would lead to such a ridiculously dumb decision that, okay, clearly this team is cursed. I have to listen to every plausible theory about this franchise being cursed and making every wrong decision possible.
Okay, you're in sports talk radio. You're professional. You're well-respected. Maybe that last part isn't true. I'm not well-respected. I'm jealous of people who are well-respected. But let's go through this. We've been in this industry combined for quite a while. If the following two things happen tomorrow night at the NFL draft, what do you lead a sports talk radio show on Friday with? Okay. Number one, the Chargers do in fact draft J.J. McCarthy number 5 overall.
Okay.
Number two, the other option, the Dallas Cowboys draft Michael Penix in the first round. What are you leading your show with the next day?
Oh, this is a great question.
It's an incredible question. Producers everywhere are like, man, that's a really good question. Do we split the segment?
I still think I lead with Penix and the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
I think I lead with Penix and the Cowboys because, like, the Chargers, like, because then we can just open up the phone lines and everybody can get off their Charger jokes. But, like, the Cowboys... They're the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Like, people care whether you're a fan of the Cowboys, whether you want to hate the Cowboys. The Cowboys are always relevant, where the Chargers are, again, the Chargers. Like, we can just make every joke about them that we want to possibly make because, yeah, well, it turns out dumb teams make dumb decisions, and we can make fun of that. Whereas the Cowboys, that would be something interesting for a team that did win a division last year.
That is a peek behind the curtain, ladies and gentlemen, of how the sausage is made. Like, you might be driving around thinking, you got to be kidding me. That Charger story would be huge. Dallas is the story. They're almost always the story. And that's not us saying that. That's you. The ratings show that you guys are interested in what they're doing. If they were to draft Michael Penix, I think you're right. I think everyone is leading with that.
Because either you hate the Cowboys or you love the Cowboys. And, you know, again, if you people are making fun of, like, why would you do this? People want to hear about that. Nobody wants to hear about what the Chargers did because the Chargers haven't been. When was the last time the Chargers were relevant? 1994?
20 minutes after the Chargers make that pick, it would settle in and people would be like, yeah, that makes sense. Chargers going to charge her. Chargers going to charge her. Gabe Neitzel, Joe Fortenbaugh, Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Buckle up, ladies and gentlemen. J.J. McCarthy, the guy we were just talking about, he's going to join this show next. He's going to join this next. That is after I have this from Indeed, where now is the perfect time to gear up and connect to quality candidates. There's no better way to do that than through Indeed, the hiring platform that makes it easy to attract, screen, and interview candidates all in the same place. Their interview tool helps you schedule and conduct video interviews right from your employer dashboard. Nix the hassle. Start hiring at Indeed.com/credit.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
McCarthy to pass. Gets it completed. It's a touchdown.
I love the grit, the toughness, the competitiveness.
When the money's on the line and, like, we got to go make plays, he was fantastic.
J.J. McCarthy is so smart, so tough, athletic. He's kind of old school.
Someone that loves winning, someone that is unselfish, someone that's going to take over a team.
His name is Gabe Neitzel. My name is Joe Fortenbaugh. This is Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. We are, I don't know, 32 hours or so from the start of the NFL draft. A lot of questions, a lot of answers forthcoming. We'll get to all of that as we sort through it. There's some news out of the National Football League today, flying a bit under the radar. Gabe, I wanted to get your thoughts on this. The Pittsburgh Steelers are not expected to pick up quarterback Justin Fields' $25 million fifth-year option. All right. Now, what happens is if you're drafted in the first round, one of the enticing aspects is that if you like the guy after 3 years, you have the ability to exercise the fifth year option. For the quarterback, Handman, it was going to be around $25 million. Is that what we just said?
That's correct.
All right. $25 million it would have cost the Steelers for that fifth year option, fully guaranteed. No, they decline. So they make the trade for him this offseason. They also bring in Russell Wilson. They don't want to pick up the fifth year option. Does that surprise you?
It doesn't. It makes all the sense in the world to me because $25 million is a lot to be paying, guaranteed, to potentially a backup quarterback. Now, they like Justin Fields enough where they took the flyer on him, but ultimately, my guess is they're hoping that the one that works out for them of the quarterbacks that they've acquired this offseason would be Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, you know, presumably is going to get first crack at being that starting quarterback, and if Russ doesn't work out, oh, then you've got Justin Fields, and maybe he can work out. And if Justin Fields balls out, then you can throw the franchise tag on him or give him an appropriate starting quarterback salary. But the $25 million is just a huge gamble to be taking on somebody who's likely going to be starting this season as your backup quarterback. The fully guaranteed part is the part you can't get out of. You just owe that $25 million no matter what. And the Steelers aren't in the habit of just, you know, flushing $25 million down the drain.
My God, think of where the Justin Fields stock was coming into this offseason. People were thinking, maybe the Bears keep him. Maybe they build around him. A lot of analysts thought that would be the right move. Then there was a thought where if you trade him, you could be getting as high as a first-round pick. You should definitely get a second. He ends up going for what? What did he go for? Was it a sixth?
Sixth.
He goes for a sixth-round pick, and then the team that acquires him doesn't even pick up the fifth-year option. Like, for everyone who was very high on Justin Fields, every indication, every action surrounding Justin Fields shows you that there is a ton of concern as to whether or not he can be a competent quarterback in the NFL. Otherwise, you would have gotten more than a six-round pick, and you likely would have picked up the fifth-year option. I was surprised they didn't. I just assumed that the Steelers made the move thinking, you know what, this is a good buy low. We want to make sure we have the guy under contract. But I guess to your point, you make a lot of sense. If he ends up starting at some point this year over Russell Wilson, and if he plays well, you can just kind of figure it out down the line, right? You can just sign him to a longer-term deal. The franchise tag is out there as well. There are mechanisms in place. I just thought that if a team was making a deal for this guy, they would have liked him enough that they would have wanted to pick up that option. It almost feels like, yeah, we'll just kind of take a shot here. Like, that's what it really feels like at this point.
Oh, 100%. But, I mean, $25 million is a big gamble. And I know that the cap keeps going up and up and up and up. And we just mentioned, you know, wide receivers are now making $30 million a year. That's the going rate if you want a top flight wide receiver. So there's money aplenty in the NFL, but you still need that money to be available to you. And if he just ends up being your backup quarterback, you can't be paying the backup $25 million.
Gabe Neitzel, Joe Fortenbaugh, Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's go to the phones. He really doesn't need much of an introduction, considering the fact that he just won a national championship at the University of Michigan and is going to be one of the top picks in tomorrow night's NFL draft. Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy joining us here on the show. J.J., we appreciate the time. Let's start right here, man. How's this week going for you? I'd imagine it's been a whirlwind.
Well, first, thank you so much for having me on. You know, it's definitely been a whirlwind, you know, something that I never expected, but having a great time going through this process. And I'd be lying to you if I didn't say, you know, I'm ready to get this thing over with and get back to real football.
You are you're not one of the 13 that are going to be in attendance in the draft in Detroit tomorrow night. Did you receive an invite? And what are your plans? What are you going to be doing to be watching the draft tomorrow?
So I did receive an invite. I wasn't on my phone at the time when I got invited. I saw an article later on that I ignored it, did not ignore it. I just didn't see it. But, you know, I'm just, you know, going to enjoy it with the village that got me here. You know, a lot of teammates are going to be here right outside of Detroit at, you know, a nice house, and just being able to, you know, enjoy it with them and celebrate with them, because it took a whole lot more people than just me to get here. And, you know, I just want to let them know how much I appreciate them and let them know they got a piece of the pie as well.
Are you guys going to have cameras in attendance? Will there be a camera crew there?
Yes, sir, there will be.
Okay, so a follow-up to that. Is there going to be a conversation about what everyone's wearing, how they're behaving? Like, we study this stuff so seriously when you guys are put up on TV. Now, you shouldn't have to worry about any of it. It's all in good fun. But is there going to be a conversation about how to handle the cameras?
No, that's a great point. You know, probably get on that now the day before.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta start putting together a seating chart, JJ.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta know who's sitting to your left, who's sitting to your right, who actually gets a seat on the couch as they keep cutting to you as we're waiting for you to go. These are important things, man.
Can't have any knuckleheads in there shotgunning beers, right?
Right. Yeah, we don't need any of that. Definitely more of a go with the flow guy, but, you know, got to be dialed in for that, you know, moment and make sure that everyone's in the right place and make sure my dog Marley's front and center and make him take the show.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
What has this process been like? Who are the teams that you've really enjoyed kind of going through this process with?
I want to say, you know, just comes to mind right away is the New York Giants. You know, I had a great time with them, met with them twice, went out there for a 30 visit, and they came for a private workout as well as, you know, showing up on pro day. So just being able to, you know, spin the pill on Easter Sunday was just a blast, and being out there with the guys doing that was so much fun. And, you know, Coach Dable, Mr. Shane, Coach Kafka, Coach Tierney, just great guys and great football guys. So it was just awesome to be with them. And, you know, I just came from Washington and New England and just love, you know, the energy that Coach Quinn and Coach Mayo are building. And you could really feel the sense of urgency of, you know, this has got to change. We got to be competitive. And, you know, I really had a great time just talking with them and talking ball and just meeting all the great people. And then, you know, a lot of teams came in for private workouts like Minnesota, Denver, and just being able to, you know, get those coaching points from, you know, some legends and Coach O'Connell and Coach Payton and Coach Webb and Coach McCown, just being able to, you know, just pick their brain and have them, you know, coach me up on some little things that I'd never really thought of, which is just, you know, invaluable.
JJ McCarthy, national championship winning quarterback from the University of Michigan, joining us here, Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio. This time of year, there's a lot of silly conversations that break out. We enjoy it on radio and TV. We kick around every permutation. We have fun with this stuff. So I'd imagine you're going to end up hearing
about it.
Yeah, exactly. I appreciate that. You understand the business. You're already set for a post-football media career. You know what you're doing. Did you hear about the rumors yesterday about you potentially reuniting with Coach Harbaugh and the Chargers? What did you think about that if you heard them?
You know, what a rumor to stir up, especially around this time. That's great. But I didn't hear about it until this morning when I was working out and I looked up on the TV and I saw, you know, some guys talking about that. And I was just like, huh, it's about time they brought that out. I was expecting that to be earlier. But yeah, it was just, you know, obviously love Coach Harbaugh to death and would do anything for him. And, you know, all this is out of my control. So I don't have any say in, you know, what goes down and how this process, you know, shapes up. But, you know, obviously it'd be an honor to play for him again.
Speaking of Coach Harbaugh, he famously, and just happened recently, got the tattoo, you know, with the
yep.
M,
yeah.
with the record. Are you doing anything like that? Are you going to get a matching tattoo for Coach, you know, along with Coach Harbaugh to commemorate the,
you know,
undefeated national championship
season? We were talking about it as, you know, the offensive linemen were thinking about getting one on the butt cheek, and I was just like, you know what? From then on, I was just like, maybe this isn't the smartest idea. So, you know, I'll just keep the rings as a keepsake. I'll keep the body off limits with all that.
Remember, if the tattoo artist makes a mistake and it's upside down, that becomes a W, and that's who you played, Washington, and that could become problematic.
That could become very problematic, yes.
JJ McCarthy joining us here, Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio. You know, as we sort through this stuff, we're not scouts, we're not draft analysts, we watch games, we have fun with it, we talk about it. In the build-up to the draft, we start learning about tendencies, we learn about skill sets, strengths, weaknesses. Every time you come up, a lot of people say, well, they didn't throw the ball a lot at Michigan. Harbaugh didn't have to lean on him as much as, you know, say you saw in situations with Caleb Williams at USC. But then the counterpoint is the fact that you win and everyone who's ever around you and knows you talks about how you are as a leader, how you are in the locker room. That's why you're a high draft pick. When you hear that stuff about how Michigan didn't throw the ball all that much, what just crosses your mind in those moments?
Well, what crosses my mind is, you know, the most important thing in all sports, and especially football, is to what? win the game.
Win the game.
Win, be the last team on top on top of the mountain at the end of the season. And, you know, Coach Harbaugh's philosophy is, you know, running the football, having heavy play action, controlling the game, making sure that, you know, we don't hurt ourselves with turnovers. And, you know, that's a winning formula that he has proven over the years that he has coached. So I'm not going to come in here as some, you know, 19, 20-year-old kid and tell him how to do things. I'm going to say, yes, sir, be, you know, the soldier that he wants all of us to be and follow his commands. And at the end of the day, you know, especially as the quarterback, you're in this leadership position where you have to uplift others and make sure that everyone's moving towards the same central goal, which is, you know, that trophy at the end of the year. And, you know, it was a tough pill to swallow just because of my confidence in myself and, you know, the abilities that I have and, you know, not being able to showcase it hurt at times. But at the end of the day, you know, it's about the team. It's not about me. It's about we. And that's all I care about.
JJ, tell us about whom you're working with today.
I'm working with Sleep Number today. And, you know, it's just been a tremendous partnership because, you know, I'm huge on sleep. Sleep is just one of the most important things for an athlete's life. I mean, for everyone's life. You're sleeping 33 years of your life if you go to bed, you know, around 8 hours and live to 99. Like, that's pretty important. You should take that pretty seriously. And then, you know, thousands of former and current NFL players, you know, use the Sleep Number bed and had so much, you know, great and positive results from it. So I just can't wait to try it out and, you know, have it for an extensive period of time. And definitely my fiance and I are really excited because we had a great time in the store and can't wait to, you know, take a nap. That's for sure.
Fantastic stuff. Congratulations on the engagement. Congratulations on the national championship. Congratulations on all the good fortune that's coming your way tomorrow night. You've worked hard. You've earned it. You deserve it. Make sure you savor those moments. A lot of times it moves by quickly and we're thinking about all these things that are outside of our control, but you seem pretty well grounded. So enjoy it tomorrow night. And most importantly, JJ, thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Wise words of the day. Thank you so much. I had a blast. You guys have a great rest of your day.
JJ McCarthy, ladies and gentlemen, national championship winning quarterback from the University of Michigan. Smart, cerebral, understands how wise I am. Stock rising. Stock rising. Is Caleb Williams in trouble at number one overall? I'm not sure we'll discuss that next, but it's something to throw out there. He's Gabe Neitzel. I'm Joe Fornball. Kawhi Leonard returned for the Clippers last night in a surprise. So did all of our concerns surrounding the Clippers. We're going to discuss that next. Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Here's Kyrie at the right wing of the hash mark against Paul George with seven to shoot. 6 and 5, one-on-one, on the drive, behind his back, flips it up to the baseline, he hits!
The Clippers are a very good team, and so we knew that they weren't just going to go away. But I thought the response after that timeout just shows you know, how competitive the guys are and how bad they want to win.
There's nobody on the planet more finely in tune with what people are saying about them than the Los Angeles Clippers. And when they hear what you're saying about them, they immediately go in the opposite direction. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. He's Gabe Neitzel. I'm Joe Fortenbaugh. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. I mean, think about it. This year, you came into the season. It's like, the Clippers could be formidable. They might not be. They got Harden. Who knows? It's probably going to be a disaster. There gets to be a point somewhere around January, I want to say, Gabe, where the Clippers are actually kind of hot. Like, they're winning games. They're looking good. Yeah. Kendrick Perkins, big perk. We love him on this show. He picks them to win the championship at that point. Like, a lot of people are jumping on the train. And it's almost like the moment everybody was on board saying, this team looks legit, they immediately went into the tank. They started losing games. They stunk. They couldn't figure out fourth quarter situations. Everyone jumps off the train. Fast forward to the playoffs. Kawhi's hurt. Everyone loves the Mavericks. You go out in game one. Clippers win without Kawhi. And you're thinking, good God, this team, okay, maybe the Clippers are legit. Maybe if they can win without Kawhi, who knows what they can end up doing when he comes back. So he comes back in game two. Everyone thinks they're going to win. And then he goes 7 of 17. He's a game worst for the Clippers, minus 8 when he's on the floor. The Clippers were outscored by 8 points with Leonard on the floor last night. They only lost by 3. So without Leonard, they actually played better by that metric. They lose the game when everyone thinks they're going to win. What the hell are we supposed to make of this?
Yeah, and by the way, Harden played better without Kawhi on the floor. I don't know what to make of it when it comes to the Clippers. Because like you said, every time you think that, okay, here we go, now they're going to roll. They got that win without him. They should be able to roll. And they haven't been able to recapture what they had in that middle part of the season right before the All-Star break. They just haven't been able to recapture that with their big three stars on their on the floor. Nobody was really all that efficient last night for the Clippers. And it's not like the Dallas Mavericks are this defensive juggernaut just waiting for you on the other side. So to only score 93 points with your big three healthy, man, it's just, I don't know what happened to the Clippers last night. I wish I had an explanation for it. Because I was with Perk. Maybe this is the year that the Clippers finally put it together. This is what they've been waiting for. Finally looking like this back when they signed Kawhi and they brought in Paul George and they've been trying to figure this out. They've got it figured. No, they just don't. And it's dumbfounding because everybody, including me, respects Ty Lue as a coach.
Yeah.
And they can't seem somehow to make all these chess pieces fit together in a way where the ball's moving seamlessly and they can figure it out offensively.
Speaking of Ty Lue, Clippers head coach, here's what he thought of Kawhi Leonard's return when he spoke after the game.
Probably just his timing. You know, I thought in the second half, you know, that third quarter, he really got active, a couple offensive rebounds, putbacks to kind of get him going. You know, as far as getting the rhythm, as far as his plays and getting his shots and things like that, that's going to come. But I thought defensively he did some good things, some steals, some deflections. And, you know, it was just good to have him back on the floor. And so we'll be able to make it work.
He was 0 for 5 from deep. He clearly looks like he doesn't have the same pop. And that's due to the injury, of course. It's not to say the guy can't play, but he's clearly not 100%. And him being out there led to this situation where, once again, the Clippers get so bogged down in their offensive sets. It's almost like they bring the ball up the court, and then they look around. It's like, all right, whose turn is it? Is it Kawhi's turn? Is it PG's turn? Is it Harden's turn? Do we get Westbrook involved here? The return of Leonard really stymied everything you got from Terrence Mann. Mann in game one played 38 minutes. He scored 13 points. He shot 50% from the floor. He was solid. 9 rebounds, 2 assists. And then last night, completely out of rhythm. 20 minutes he played. He shot 28% from the field. Kawhi Leonard spoke after the game on his process to getting back. Take a listen to this.
I was just trying to make sure I could get into the game and play. That's what my last week's been about, just trying to get back on the floor.
And you've been able to do much in practice heading into today's game?
Not really. You know, I've just been rehabbing, trying to get on the floor. But, you know, we still got more games to play, more time to get better, and, you know, that's what I'm focused on.
So what are we supposed to do here? It feels like if we say they're going to come back and win the series, they're definitely going to lose. If we say they're toast, they're probably going to come back and dominate Dallas in game three. It's really just the opposite. So you got to get one step ahead of it. Whatever you were going to say, say the opposite, but then the opposite still is likely to occur.
Oh, man. Okay. My brain's in a pretzel. Okay. I got to unwrap that just a little bit. So I think now I'm back to my original instinct. Is that what I have to do? I think that's where we're back.
Yeah.
They played really good defense last night. Like, Lucas scored 32, but he didn't do it efficiently. Like, he wasn't that efficient in the game last night.
No.
So as long as they continue to play defense like this, I would like to think they're going to be able to score enough. I've got questions whether or not they can challenge Denver at this point, but they should be able to get past Dallas.
I cannot wait to see what they are going to do this offseason. Paul George is going to be a free agent. Ballmer's going to open the new arena. Who's getting paid? Who's coming in? Who's leaving? There are so many fascinating questions around the Clippers, as are there fascinating questions about the top of tomorrow night's NFL draft. We will sort through that for you next.
Thanks for listening to the Carlin vs. Joe podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Carlin vs. Joe weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch and listen on the ESPN app. The Carlin vs. Joe podcast.